Oh,
we had a mild heart attack, but it's okay.
Ashley had the wrong stream settings. Why am I talking about myself in the third person? Never mind. Hello.
Hi, guys. I'm Laura.
And I'm Ash.
And this is Dead Obsessed Podcast Live.
Yes, and I'm going to do this.
Yeah, it
there
is.
There we go. That was more for my personal entertainment than for anything else.
I wanted it too. It's okay.
I would have just done it anyway, to be honest.
You don't care about my opinion, but...
No, not usually.
Yeah. I'm just throwing it out. I like the jingle too. I wanted it too.
Thanks, Tate.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, am I hot?
Yeah, you had a...
I was okay until it said that my stream key wasn't working, and I went, yep. Oh my God. Oh my God.
We're just going to breathe and chill for a little bit.
I'm okay. I'm fine now. Now that I can see that it's happening.
Yeah.
So I actually bought... So about a half an hour ago, I actually bought a ticket to our own show so that I can monitor on my second screen what's going on because I got nervous that I couldn't see what was going on. And Laura looks at me and goes... Are you buying a ticket to your own show? And I was like, I could use my artist pass, but I don't have the time. My credit card information is saved on the computer. I'm just going to go this way.
So basically, we're just really supportive of our own work right now.
Sure. Yes, that's what that is. And it's not about me having anxiety at all.
No.
All right.
But anyways, thank you to everyone who's watching this.
We have no idea what we're doing.
Well, okay, we have a little bit of idea because we have things prepared.
Yes, we have written stories, although I did only finish mine yesterday.
That's not unusual for you.
And I, no, it's not. And I did almost change it halfway through.
Oh my God. You do that all the time. You'll do a story and you'll be like, yeah, I know what I'm going to do. And then like halfway through, you'll be like, no, I want to do something else.
Yeah, because I have so much just inane, I think that's the right word, knowledge of murders and shit in my head that I sit there and go... That's a recent one I know about. I could do that. There's a lot of information on that. And then I go, oh, but there's one that's way better that I should be doing.
Yeah.
Hopefully nobody can see my notes. Don't peek.
Secret.
It's a secret until I tell you about it.
Yeah.
But yes, this is Dead Obsessed Live. We're a true crime paranormal nonsense podcast, as I've been putting it recently on Twitter.
Yeah, I think that's pretty accurate.
Some people say true crime paranormal comedy. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the claim to comedy.
Yeah. I mean, we think we're funny, but...
Yeah, I don't think that holds much value anywhere else.
I've had, like, two people say we're funny.
So that like, okay, it's comedy podcast.
Comedy. We're officially validated.
Yeah. Just a disclaimer, we don't think death and crime and
murder.
Horrible and all that kind of stuff is funny.
No, absolutely.
This is a... It's kind of like we're having a personal conversation, telling each other stories, and you guys are just fucking eavesdropping all the time.
Yeah. Mostly what we're laughing at is like just us being nutcases and saying bizarre things. And
usually me having ridiculous thoughts that come from absolutely fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
I have ADD. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
We embrace it. We're very inclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Did we do... I'm Ash, that's Laura.
Yeah.
We did that, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. I can't remember.
Yeah, but you know, people might be new here, so...
I'm so nervous.
It's okay. Deep breath.
I stream video games every other night.
Yeah.
But for some reason, this has me nervous because I don't even know why. Because it's not just me in my living... Well, it is. It's...
Yeah.
It's us in the pod office. It's not really that different, is it?
No. This is literally what we do every week.
It's just so hot in here.
It is hot in here.
Oh, but the fan is too loud.
Yeah. It's all right. We'll just sweat for a little bit and it'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Just so you know, if you're in the chat or, you know, whatever you're doing, we can see bits and pieces, but it's not really an interactive sort of platform for us. Mm-hmm. We will, you know, say hey and speak directly at you kind of thing. But unfortunately, the way this is sort of laid out, it's not the most interactive, anything like a Twitch stream or anything, if you're a big nerd like me.
Yay. Yeah, because basically, like, we research cases and then we talk with each other. So it's basically we're reading things out and there's not a whole lot of Q&A-ing going on as well.
Yeah, and we're both always nervous we're going to get something wrong.
Yeah.
So we have, like... detailed. It's not notes. It's like detailed story written.
It's
like a script.
Pretty much. It's, you know what? The first episode I did, I had dot points and I was like expanding as I go.
That's brave.
Yeah. I've stopped doing that.
Yeah.
Funnily enough.
This is not a very effective fan.
No.
We have cards here because Laura fiddles. That's why she has to sit on a normal person's chair and I'm allowed on the computer chair because it clicks and she fiddles too much.
Yeah. I also swing on the chair. I can't sit still at all.
Yes.
I play with the armrests. It didn't go well.
So we have cards to fiddle with because it's quiet and it's easier. So there's a little peek into behind the scenes podcasting, I guess.
Yeah. Otherwise you're listening to this the whole time.
Yeah, it's just lots of shuffling and just horrific ASMR that nobody wants a piece of.
Yeah.
So this live show, this episode is for now at least, it is a one-time only private screening episode, listening, I don't know what the word is, experience.
It's a special event, guys.
Yeah. So it's not going to be released on our normal channels and stuff. So you guys get to hear this, and only you guys, for at least 6 months or until we need an emergency backup.
Yeah. But the good thing about all that is that you guys that have bought tickets, it's a special Melbourne only episode.
Yes.
So everything we're going to talk about takes place in Melbourne and suburbs and things like that, which on our podcast, we do different countries. We do all over the place. Jeez.
On the Roof Goes Back to You. No, please keep talking. It's a podcast.
I haven't heard that bit before.
Really? Under a Roof Goes Back to You?
No.
I don't know. I probably got bullied too much in high school. Maybe it's not a thing. And I just said it.
Okay.
Although that probably would have made it worse, wouldn't it?
Probably.
I don't remember. I've blacked that out.
All right, let's move on quickly.
Okay, so we decided beforehand who was going first, and I already can't remember.
I think it's you. All right, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Are we ready?
Melbourne away. Laura does, if you've not listened to episodes or anything before, Laura's the paranormal and I'm the true crime.
Wait.
You get it. It's fine.
I'm a ghost and Ashley murders people, so.
Don't tell them. That's a secret. It's a podcast secret. They're all buried in that fern. This is Fernand. He's the pod office fern.
I knew there was something off about that fern.
He doesn't... He's green, usually.
Yeah.
But at the moment, he looks partially dead. So I'm not a plant killer. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
He's just raven. It's fine.
He's having a party.
Yeah.
Disco fern. Disco fern! That's fabulous.
Yeah. All right.
Tell me spooky things.
All right. Okay. I'm really excited.
I'm excited.
I've tried to keep this secret, and I have, and I don't know how. But,
That's the thing. We don't tell each other what we're doing before it happens.
No. We know that I'll be doing something paranormal and you'll be something true crimey.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I think the only thing here is that it's because it's Melbourne themed.
Yeah.
There's probably not a whole heap. I don't know anything about yours.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, take it away.
Okay. So ladies and gentlemen, for my part of the live show, I actually wrote that. I thought that instead of focusing on just one story that's paranormal from Melbourne, I thought I would give in to my indecision and I would take...
You're so extra.
Well, I did. I thought that I would give in to my indecision and I would take us on a ghost story tour of Melbourne.
Fuck yeah.
Yep.
That's exciting. I'm excited. I don't give a shit if anybody else is. I am.
Yeah, it's going to be really fun. Some of the stories, I've done a couple. There's more... Yeah, you're ready. I can tell.
I'm ready.
So some of them might be a little bit shorter, but I couldn't pick just one. So I was like, let's do them all.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm really excited about this because a lot of the places I talk about are Melbourne hotspots, like really well-known places. And you're just going to be shocked how many ghosts actually live in Melbourne.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. So let's get into it. The first stop on our ghost story tour is Melbourne's very own Luna Park, which is located in the St. Kilda foreshore.
Okay. I didn't know we had a Luna Park.
What?
I've lived here a year. What do you want from me? That's the one with the wooden roller coaster.
Yeah.
Okay. No, we're good. I know what you're talking about.
Big ass mouth and everything.
Well, the mouth I just associate with Sydney.
Okay. Well, there's two.
But I know the roller coaster.
Okay.
So don't ask questions.
Okay. Moving on. excuse me. So it's located in the St. Kilda foreshore. Opened in 1912, this popular tourist attraction has delighted everyone that's walked through that creepy mouth, which is the main gate. It gave me nightmares as a child. I'm not even kidding.
I see how it could.
Yeah. Still creeps me out.
Not fair. I don't like the, you know, the when you go to any carnival ever, and the clown heads that just spin. Yeah. It's not the fact that they're clowns or that their mouths are open. It's the fact that their spinning heads not attached to anything else.
Okay, yeah, no, see, it's the mouth thing for me.
No, because that's where the balls go. Like, that is logical, but why heads attached to nothing else? It's just, it's very...
shoulders.
Not the ones that I've seen. Because they spin.
Yeah, I thought it was like a shoulders thing and the head kind of...
Maybe I'm having selective memories.
Possibly.
Either way, it seems like some poltergeist shit for me.
I think we should go find a bunch of clown heads.
Why do you do this to me?
Because it's fun.
Yeah, right.
Back to Luna Park. Basically, people love Luna Park. But did you know that it's apparently haunted by a ghost called the Joker Ghost?
I didn't.
Okay.
I'm worried about it.
It's okay. This one's not too bad. Although his appearances have dropped in frequency in recent years, the story goes that beginning around the time of the 1940s, an apparition of a man would suddenly appear on the scenic roller coaster, which is the one that goes all the way around.
Hey, the wooden one.
Yep. So it would appear on there because it runs all the way around the park, and then it would just promptly disappear. So it would just kind of appear and disappear.
Okay.
It seems his only purpose was to scare passengers. Like, it didn't really do anything else. Wasn't too much of a baddie.
What else are ghosts supposed to do?
Well, some of them can be really nasty, or they try and terrify you, but this guy was just kind of like, boo, and then kind of went away. It was just having some fun.
I can just imagine somebody sitting in the roller coaster next to you and you just sort of turn over where there wasn't that many before and he just goes, boo. Like, just really...
just blasé about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, I've got nothing else to do.
I feel like that would be you as a ghost.
Yeah.
Just, like, lost motivation.
Yeah.
Just like, ugh.
I'd be like, oh, do I have to do the haunting stuff today? Here, I'll move this book a little bit.
Yeah, and you're like, I need a nap.
Good night. I need a ghost nap.
Ghost nap. Yeah, so it would basically just appear and then disappear. And at the time, people thought that Luna Park had actually hired someone to go up on the tracks and appear and disappear. Two problems with this for me. How would they pull it off without being hit by the roller coaster?
That was my question.
Second one, how would they do it without falling off the roller coaster? Because it's high up in the air.
Also, why would anybody want that job?
I mean, I would scare people for fun, but...
on top of a roller coaster? With no safety equipment?
Yeah, no, not that part.
Yeah.
Most people don't think this was true anyway. But some skeptics were like, oh, guys, like, it's an employee. It's like, physics, though. I'm just finding my place again. Yeah, so, yeah, generally people don't think this is true, but we don't actually know the identity of the Joker Ghost, like, 100%. But there's a few options, because a number of people have died at Luna Park over the years.
Why am I not surprised?
Here's a bunch of stories about that. In 1913, a snake charmer, yep.
Okay.
was bitten on the hand by one of his tiger snakes.
No shit.
Highly venomous, in case you don't know. Whilst performing and was taken to hospital where he soon passed away. In 1926, a man named Clarence Hurst was killed on the scenic railway after he turned around to talk to someone that was on the roller coaster and his head hit one of the supports. He died instantly.
How? What did he do? Get up?
I picture he kind of like leaned forward and maybe went out the side.
Keep your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times.
There's a reason they tell you that.
Yeah, bitch.
He died instantly. Oof. Yep. In 1935, a man fell out of the car on one of the highest roller coasters they have and fell 22 and a half meters or 74 feet.
Ouch.
To his death.
What's that in floors?
I don't know.
How many stories? It's probably only like two stories.
How many meters to a story?
I don't fucking know.
Yeah, moving on. Don't point out things I don't know.
Why not? It's my favorite thing to do.
Yeah, okay. You do that a lot.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, this one was particularly grisly, and he died of multiple broken bones. One of his legs was completely severed, and he had massive internal injuries as well. So
Does the Joker Ghost have both legs?
Yes.
It's not him?
Yeah, I didn't think it was him either. In 1936, another man fell out of a trolley car, only to be hit by another trolley car, which resulted in his death as well.
What the fuck is a trolley car?
I think it was like...
Isn't that a tram? I thought that's what a tram was.
Well, I was thinking it was either those little trains that kind of go along and take people to different rides, or maybe they had little, like, golf buggy type things that would drive around and...
Imagine being killed by a golf buggy.
Well, that's one thing. I'm like, if you got hit by a golf buggy, would you really die, though?
I feel like you'd damage the golf buggy more than it would damage you.
Yeah. Like, you'd hit it and the golf buggy's like, oh, no. Falls over. Yeah, I wasn't sure about that one. But it just said trolley car, so I was like, I think it's like a tram.
Right.
I think. But this is by far the strangest incident, right? So in 1940, a woman named Elizabeth Patrick died after claiming, quick, get me out, I'm going to faint. But instead, she'd actually been shot. Yep.
Okay.
Basically, what happened was that a park worker was transporting money and he fired three shots at some youths that were being a nuisance because they're trying to take the money. The first shot...
Hold on.
Okay.
He shot a gun at some kids that were being a nuisance.
Yeah.
Were they robbing him or were they just being little assholes? Because either way, that's children.
Yeah, pretty much. Basically, it was like, it was youth. So it was like teenagers being rat bags. But yeah, basically, they weren't even like trying to like be physical or anything. They were just like hovering around and being like, we're going to take the money. And yeah.
So he panic shot at a bunch of kids.
Yeah, he pulled out a gun. It didn't go well, as you can imagine, because guns are bad. The first shot hit and killed Miss Patrick. So that's where the first one I want. The second shot hit another person who was witnessing the event, but they lived.
So this bloke's not even, like, a decent shot, like, within the realm.
He's just killing bystanders at this point.
Wow.
But the second person who was hit was fine. Lived, no problems. Yeah. The third shot hit another attendant after he took the gun and then shot himself in the leg. Yeah. Three shots fired.
Okay.
None of them hit his target. But a bunch of other people got hit.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Just for some reassurance, Luna Park now has very different procedures for transporting money that don't involve shooting
children. No guns allowed. That's the main rule.
I hope so.
That's the only one written on the side of the money bag. The bank deposit slip that says, please do not take gun. No guns allowed.
Just no guns.
Anything it's just got else? A picture of a gun with that big red stop sign through it.
Nuh-uh.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. So those were the main stories of people who died at Luna Park.
Mm-hmm.
In my personal opinion, I believe the most likely identity for the Joker ghost is Clarence Hurst because he actually died on the scenic roller coaster.
Mm-hmm.
And I have this weird thought in my head, right? I don't know why it kept coming into my head that he was on the roller coaster and he turned around to tell his buddy a joke that was sitting behind him and instead he died. And so now he haunts where he died and he just likes scaring people for funsies.
He wants to finish the joke.
Yeah. I don't know why. This is my theory.
Imagine, you know how ghosts usually... I'm crying. You know how ghosts usually have unfinished business?
Yeah.
This dude just needs to get to the punchline.
Yeah.
If you haven't listened to our podcast before, this happens a lot.
Yeah. I know I'm doing well when Ashley cries. So. We'll just let her finish.
It's like a shitty knock-knock joke as well.
Yep.
Do you want to hear my favourite joke that Tanner's ever told me? It's shit and I love it.
Yes, I do.
Ask me if I'm an orange.
Ask you a what?
Ask me if I'm an orange.
If I'm an orange.
Ask me. Ask you me. Ask me if I'm an orange.
Okay, are you an orange?
No. Isn't it great?
That's so funny for no reason.
I know. It's so stupid. I'm crying. Oh, are you crying? Yes.
That's so good. Oh my god. Guys, this is just us listening.
That's the comedy part of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, guys, now that the joke's out of the way, we're going to get on
with it. Goodbye. See you next time.
Okay. So, yeah, that was my theory on that one.
Yes.
We're moving on to our next one.
Well, if he's the Joker ghost and he was telling a joke, look.
Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah, perfect. Yeah.
All right, that one's solved.
Done. Not lizard people that time.
No, not lizard people. For a rare occasion, it wasn't lizard people this time.
It's always lizard people. They had something to do with it. Maybe the joke was about lizard people.
Might have been. Were there many lizard people in 1940?
They've been here forever.
Oh, true. All right. On to location number two.
Cool.
Our next location is the Princess Theatre, which is located on Spring Street in the Melbourne CBD.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful. Now, this haunting is especially exciting because the ghost in question is a celebrity.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Probably haven't heard of him, though. Oh. But still a celebrity, so I'm excited. The theatre itself opened for business in 1854, but in 1888, a talented actor named Frederick Baker, but went by Frederick Federici as a stage name. Fancy, right?
Yeah.
He'd made his way to Melbourne to perform in a number of shows. So he was here, acting, doing his thing. On opening night of a show named Faust, Frederick Federici made his way through the whole performance in his role of Mephistopheles, which is his character in the play. In the final scene, Mephistopheles and Faust descend into hell, and this was done through a trapdoor in the floor of the stage, as it often is. But during this final scene, as the stage door, or as the trapdoor dropped and he went beneath the stage, he slumped over slightly and he died of a heart attack.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like in a matter of moments.
Wow.
He was just dead. Now, the spooky thing about this story is that none of his cast or crew members knew that he was dead, and they all swear they saw him on the stage doing the final bows. They had no
idea.
What? Mm-hmm.
That's some instant ghost shit.
Yeah, that was like, poof, he's gone.
2 minute ghost.
Yeah. I think that's definitely unfinished business. He was like, no, I did the whole performance.
I got to finish my shit and get applauded.
I'm going to get my bows.
Yes.
Thanks very much. now, Frederick Federici is a friendly ghost. And so many people have seen him.
That's because he's a theatre kid.
Yeah. They're always the best people. I was a theatre geek.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was. But so many people have claimed to see him. They still see him to this day. Even celebrities like Bert Newton and Lisa McCune claim to have seen him. But what's really lovely about this story, which I really love.
I dropped a card.
I saw that.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You didn't need to replenish it, but thank you.
It's really nice.
You'll be a friendly ghost one day.
Yeah. No, but what's really nice about this story is that for every performance that's held at the Princess Theatre, they always leave a seat empty and reserved for Mr. Federici in case he wants to see the show.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, every performance is
as if he wouldn't watch from the wings.
Hell yeah.
That's the best place to see it.
He'd be waltzing around there. He'd be like, no, I want close-ups. Or like, oh, I want to watch this.
He'll scene. Be in the sound booth.
Yeah. Or his
that's where I used to sit. The top. Yeah. I mean, he can be anywhere. He could be in the rafters.
Or maybe he does just really like having a reserve seat. He's like, no, bitches, this is my seat.
He feels special.
Yeah, he's like, this is Federici's seat.
Yes, that's great. It should be a different color.
That would be me as a ghost. I would be like, where's my special seat?
You demand special ghost appreciation points in
different places. Yeah, like I'd be a really friendly ghost, but I'd want special treatment as well.
I would be the most annoying, inconvenient ghost that somebody could have in there. Like, if I haunted this house forever, I would just do things like leave doors slightly open.
Yeah, just enough to be annoying.
Just take out one battery in the remote.
Yeah, and it'd be enough to just kind of drive them slowly insane because it'd be that stuff like, I swear I put this over here.
Or, yeah.
I swear I closed that door.
Yeah.
But like on a larger scale.
Yeah, that's me. That's the kind of ghost I'd be.
Yeah.
Sorry, not sorry.
I'm a little worried about you.
Yeah.
Okay, so our next Melbourne hotspot that we'll be talking about is the always busy Hosier Lane, which is found also in the Melbourne CBD. This lane is incredibly popular with locals and tourists alike because the walls are covered in street art, just absolutely covered. It's really beautiful to go look at and it's a great place to walk through. It's also a great cut through, like you can cut through it and get to your destination quicker. But if you're considering going for a walk there, might I suggest going during the day? Otherwise, you might see a ghost.
Hell yeah.
I'm
only going to go at night now.
Yeah, we would go at night.
Yes.
But if you're like, oh, I want a ghost-free visit, go during the day.
Boring.
So the ghost you might encounter is the ghost of Frederick Bailey Deeming. We have another Frederick, which I found really interesting because we had Frederick Federici in the last story.
Yeah.
And now we have Frederick Bailey Deeming.
Nice.
Which I think is cool. So yeah, he's the ghost that apparently haunts Hosier Lane. And if you're a man, you need to be particularly careful because for some reason he seems to target men.
Haha.
Yeah, suck it, bitches. Just kidding. Now, Frederick Bailey Deeming he's actually really interesting because he was one of the many suspects that they thought might be Jack the Ripper, who was a serial killer who stalked Whitechapel in London during the 1880s and murdered and mutilated at least 5 women.
If you don't know who Jack the Ripper is, there's something wrong.
Yeah, this is not the podcast for you if you don't know.
Yeah, get out.
But I thought I'd put that in there just in case people didn't know.
That's just for the tech crew for Fringe that might not be interested in murder and stuff.
You're welcome, guys.
Apologies in advance that you have to listen to this.
Yeah. So now you're probably wondering, how did a Jack the Ripper suspect end up in Melbourne haunting Hosier Lane? Well, I have the answer. After living a life of crime in England for many years, he decided to murder his first wife and four children and hide their bodies under the floorboards of his house.
Huh.
Yep, because that's something you decide to do. After he did this, he found himself a new wife and decided to move all the way to Australia for a brand new life.
Oh, so he came by choice, not by convict.
No, he came by choice.
Cool.
Yeah. Apparently, though, old habits die hard because shortly after he made it to Australia, he murdered his new wife. He got himself caught and was eventually hung in the old Melbourne jail in 1892.
Right.
So, yeah. So that's how he ended up in Hosier Lane. He's just a bad dude who died in Melbourne and now he's like, this mine.
Cool. Anything specific about Hosier Lane for him? Well, that's just where he's decided he likes to do things.
I mean, the only link I could find is that they're both the Melbourne jail and Hosier Lane are in the Melbourne CBD.
Yeah.
So I think he's...
He's like, this is where I died and he's probably buried not far around there.
Yeah, probably. I do have some notes on this one, which I'll get to at the end. Cool. But yeah, there was nothing specific about like he killed his wife in Hosier Lane or something like that. So what do people experience when they meet this not so friendly ghost? Well, men in particular seem to be victimized by deeming. They often claim that they feel cold, clammy hands wrapped around their throats like they're being strangled. But both men and women, however, have claimed that they've seen a ghostly figure of a man out the corner of their eye. But when they turn to look at the ghost full on, it slowly disappears until there's nothing there.
Huh.
Which is kind of creepy.
Okay.
You know?
He just likes to freak people out a little bit.
Yeah, unless you're a man and then he's going to try and strangle you.
Yeah.
That, for me, was the thing that I didn't get because men are targeted. Like, he killed both of his wives and his children, so why all of a sudden is he strangling men if it's this guy?
Something could have happened in the jail.
Possibly. I mean, I'm not saying it's not him, but yeah. I'm just sort of like, I couldn't find exactly why we think it's this guy.
Right.
Apart from the fact that he was... Well, see, again, like, if he's a Jack the Ripper suspect, like, I really don't get why he would target men specifically. I'd be more looking for a criminal that targeted men.
Yeah. So Unless it's something to do with, it might not be him, but they've put that name to it because he was a Jack the Ripper suspect, so it's a little bit more of a juicier story.
That's what I'm thinking. But apparently there really is a ghost there because people keep talking about it and people dudes keep coming out being like, something strangled me and it was cold.
Yeah.
And women keep being like,
yeah. Or he's like, I got hung, so I'm going to hang you guys as well.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it was like a male executioner or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not, like, you're close enough.
I'm not ruling it out. I just think I have some questions.
Yeah.
I'd like to ask him.
Fair.
Just be like, hello.
Let's go ask him.
Is it you, Mr. Deeming?
Let's take a Ouija board and go hang out in Hosier Lane.
No, we've talked about Ouija boards. We're not doing
it. I'll get you to do it one day.
You're the one that's mostly anti-Ouija board, though.
I just don't want you to do it. I don't trust you. You can break it or something. All right. I don't know.
I'll have it.
I'm in charge, I'm all right with it.
Okay. You can be in charge. We'll go contact the Hosier Lane spirit and we'll see what's up.
Yeah.
All right. Good plan.
Cool.
We'll go after this.
All right.
Okay. So we're up to our final story.
Okay.
Unfortunately, because I could talk about this for hours. But of course, no ghost story tour of Melbourne would be complete without dropping by the notorious old Melbourne jail.
Hell yeah.
Had to mention it.
Do they do ghost tours?
They do.
Can we do one?
Yes.
Because I've only been there during the day.
Yeah, I've only done the museum-y part. But yeah, they do. They're not running just yet because of COVID. The museum's open now, but the tours just aren't running yet. But we can go.
Yes.
So yeah, we're going to talk about the old Melbourne jail now.
Okay.
It was first constructed in 1839 and then was operational from 1842 to 1929. Which is open for a long time for a jail.
Yeah.
Which is good. It's located in the heart of Melbourne on Russell Street. The old jail is now open to the public as a museum, like we said before. But before it became a tourist attraction, the jail had a very dark past.
Yeah, and I was fucking surprised.
Mm-hmm. Being a jail, of course, it saw its fair share of notorious criminals, including Ned Kelly, who was the bushman.
The bushman.
I mean, like, he was mainly a criminal, but, you know.
Yeah. Tin can head.
Yeah. I just want to walk up and be like, ding. Also Squizzy Taylor, who was a gangster.
Bless you.
Have you not seen Underbelly, Squizzy?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I love murder and true crime and stuff, mm-hmm. but like gang violence is so boring to me.
Yeah, it's because it's just like it's a group of usually men just fighting each other.
Yeah, but it's always for stupid reasons.
Yeah, it's like...
I mean, all murder is for stupid reasons, yeah. but I don't know. It's just
good reasons.
It's just murder. Like, I don't know. It's just all very same to it's me. Unless there's something mind. That's like really heinous, but it's stuff you hear about all the time, you know?
Yeah.
It's not in every often. Show or whatever.
Yeah, usually if it's like a Forensic Files episodes or something, if it's like gang related, I'm usually sort of like... I watch it, but I'm just a little bit less invested.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, if they had have just had some constructive communication, we probably could have worked through this. You know?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just my inner therapist coming out. And, of course, it was also home to Frederick Bailey Deeming, who we familiarized ourselves with earlier.
Yeah.
He was there too. But the jail was also home to many other people, including a 3-year-old child who was imprisoned for 6 months for being idle and disorderly.
A 3-year-old child being idle.
Yeah, idle. And
as in, like, not doing anything, but also being disorderly.
I picture idle as, like, loitering.
Can 3-year-olds walk and talk?
I don't know.
I don't know anything about childhood development. No. Oh, but
3 years old, I think they're, like, toddling
around. 3 years old?
Yeah, 3 years old. They looked it.
They're toddling around?
I just
like... Why did that take me so long to pick up on? What the fuck is that?
What do you mean, what is that?
I don't know.
It's what toddlers do. They toddle around.
I don't think I've ever heard anybody use that word in my life what? Before.
Oh my god. You need to be around more children.
Nah.
Okay.
Good.
Not
thanks.
Gonna argue that. I just love thinking about like this little
toddle.
Yeah, like this little 3-year-old going on trial and then getting sentenced to 6 months for being idle and disorderly.
That kid would have no idea what the fuck is happening.
No, it would just be like crying and just being like, where's my mum? Like, you're in jail. What the fuck have you done?
I don't know how you can go to jail for being idle, but okay, that means you're not doing anything.
Well, idle for me, I think, meant like loitering. Like, you know how loitering is like taking
a 3-year-old yeah. loiter?
It was like outside, like a what did they have in there? They didn't have petrol stations. What's a
bank?
Like a yeah, a bank or a corner store or something. It was like hanging outside. Being all disorderly.
Where was its mum?
I don't know.
Okay. You know what? I'm not gonna
I don't have a lot of details on that. It's just very notorious that they locked up a 3-year-old.
Yeah.
Also, there were a pair of 13 and 14-year-old sisters who were locked up because they simply had nowhere else to go. So they were like, we're just
That's gonna... a good thing to do with orphan children.
Yeah, just throw them in prison.
Yeah.
Sorted. I think we've just solved the foster.
Don't give them a job. That's fine.
Yeah, don't give them a job or like a stable home or anything. Just like lock them up with yeah. hardened criminals.
Perfect. Hang out with Ned Kelly. He'll be their dad.
Brilliant. Solved.
Then they can adopt the 3-year-old and be a little weird family.
We can just take all of the children in foster care right now and pair them up with hardened criminals.
What, yes.
What could go wrong?
Yes, that's how a functional society should work. We've solved it.
Yeah. yeah, that's basically what they did here, though. They were like, oh, we have these kids. They have nowhere else to go. Put them in prison. Yeah. You're going to get particularly mad about that with my next point.
Oh, great.
Conditions at the jail were, of course, horrendous mm-hmm. and included things like only being allowed to bathe once a week, hard labor, women were forced to be servants for rich families, and being forced to wear silence masks or calico hoods to prevent communication between prisoners.
The fuck does a silence mask look like? Is that some Silence of the Lambs bullshit?
Have you seen, like, those executioner hoods? Like, Okay, they kind of look
the potato
like,
sacks on their heads.
Yeah, they yeah. kind of look like that. Like that mixed with like the pointy ones, which I don't want to say who wears them, but.
Right.
Yeah. They're very creepy.
Cool.
But there was a picture of the calico ones. I didn't see the specific silence masks, but.
I feel like it would be like a leather muzzle. That's what I imagine.
Yeah, either way, I'm not loving it.
No.
Because all of the prisoners had to wear these whenever they walked anywhere. Because okay. They were like, oh, how are we going to stop prisoners talking to each other? I know. We'll put them in creepy hoods.
You know what's a step better than that? Just cut out their tongues. It's the same thing.
Done. I like your option better.
I don't.
Yeah, so that happened. During its years of operation, the jail was the site of 135 hangings. But prisoners were also dying left, right, and center from the poor conditions they were forced to live in, and also things like illegitimate healthcare and heat stroke and
Yeah.
Disease and just everything.
Yeah.
So lots of death. With all that death within its walls, it's no wonder that the old Melbourne jail is considered a paranormal hotspot.
Yeah.
Funnily enough. Visitors to the jail have reported a number of supernatural experiences, including seeing ghostly shapes in the cells and standing in doorways. There's a particular haunting voice of a woman that tries to communicate with you, but you can't understand what she's saying. But this is believed...
She's just speaking gibberish.
She's trying, guys.
She's having a go.
Yeah. But it's believed to be the voice of Elizabeth Scott, who was the first woman to ever be executed in the jail.
That's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
What did she do? Do you know?
Murder.
Oh.
I don't know who she murdered, but she was executed for murder.
Okay.
That was basically the main thing they executed people for.
Right. And loitering.
Yeah. Watch out if you're a 3-year-old who's idle and disorderly.
So weird. What 3-year-old isn't disorderly?
Do you know what? I read that and I had to fact check it because I didn't believe it, and it was on so many websites.
That's so weird.
Really weird. I'm hoping they would elaborate more on the tour, but that was all I could find. What else? Oh, there's also a bunch of other random voices that you hear that aren't like living people in the jail. They're just coming from nowhere. So it's like,
oh, okay.
Creepy voices. Apparently you also see apparitions that are, okay, these are actually really creepy. It's not just your usual like ghostly figures. It's people with their flesh rotting off.
Dope.
Yeah.
Zombie ghosts.
Exactly. Which I was like, you know, you hear you're like, your normal sort of, oh, it's a figure of a man or something. No, these are like skeleton skin melting ghosts.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I want to see that.
Yeah, that sounds rad. That sounds like a party.
I want to have nightmares for the rest of my life.
Yes, please.
We're not
normal. Only about that.
Yeah, we're not normal, are we?
No.
And the kind of hot spot in all of the jail is cell 17. Now, cell 17, they don't know exactly what is haunting it, but it's the most violent place.
What?
Yeah. Basically, people who go in there get pushed, attacked, scratched, or even grabbed, but they don't know who it is or what it is.
Jack the Ripper.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think he's involved. But, see, I'm sort of seeing that. I'm like, hey, you know, how many ghosts must be in the old Melbourne jail? Like, a lot, right? But if those ghosts aren't being violent, I'm thinking demon, personally. Because demons tend to have that more aggressive tone to them.
So do you know how many jails I've been to that have claimed to have Jack the Ripper in them?
Like, a lot.
Like, so many.
Well, it's because all of them want the claim to fame.
Yeah, and because nobody knows who he is. They're like, oh, yeah, he definitely came here. I was like, how the fuck would you know?
It's like, we don't even know who he is yet.
Yeah.
Like, before we start claiming
yet, him. I don't think we'll ever figure that out.
Probably not. If it hasn't been figured out now, probably not.
Yeah, it's a bit late.
Actually, weren't they doing... Oh, no, I probably should research this before I say it.
What?
Oh, I thought that they were doing, like, or trying at least to do the modern, like, DNA and, you know how they... What's it called?
Good luck with that. That shit's old as hell.
Well, that was the problem because they were trying to dig up victims and things like that and find any traces with modern technology, but they're like, it's just so old. We can't find anything useful. But they were also trying to do the, they were trying to find anything of the guy who is Jack the Ripper to do, you know how they can take your DNA and they can hypothesize what you look like? So like your skin color, your hair.
Yeah.
They were trying to do that, but apparently they just don't have the samples yet.
Which yeah.
If
yeah.
they could do that, that would be badass, but I don't know how they're going to do it yet.
Yeah.
But that's insane. It's in the works.
Okay.
They're trying, guys. So yeah, cell 17 is like the hotspot and people get hurt, which is a bit frightening, but also bring it. The old Melbourne jail is such a great place to visit, despite everything I've just said. It's full of heaps of history, heaps of scary sights to see. You can see Ned Kelly's death mask. Which is, yeah.
I've seen his armor. Why can't I remember if I've seen his death mask? That'd be something I think I'd remember.
You can see pictures of it. It's very creepy. I never got the whole death mask thing.
You can see pictures of his death mask or his death mask.
Oh, you can see pictures online, but then you can go see it.
Right, yeah.
Because I saw pictures of it online and I never got it though, because like people die and they're like, oh, I'm going to take a cast of their face while they're dead.
Oh, I think it was also something to do at the time with... when they thought the shape and dents in your skull determined what kind of a criminal you were. I think it's that kind of bullshit.
I actually love looking into that shit.
Phrenology? I can't remember.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah.
I like the stuff where they were cutting people's brains up to see if they were wrinkled differently. And that's what made violent criminals.
Why do I love just the concept of your brain being wrinkled differently? This is the grossest thing I've ever heard. And I say some pretty gross shit.
Well, it's just funny because, like, your brain is so sophisticated and we don't even fully understand it. But the fact that it's just this wrinkly goo, it's like, that's messed up.
It's like a prune.
It is like a prune. Anyways, I can't
prune brain.
Got the cactus brain.
Cactus head.
It looks like that, but not prickly. Yeah, so definitely worth a visit. But if you do decide to visit the Melbourne Jail, just keep your wits about you because there may be some unexpected visitors on your tour. But unfortunately, that pretty much wraps up our little ghost story tour of Melbourne. I really could have kept going on and on. There were a bunch of other stories I wanted to include. But because of time, I just couldn't go into more than that. But if you're bored at home one day, definitely recommend a Google. Definitely check it out. There's a whole bunch more stories.
There are also a whole bunch of, like, ghost tour companies that do walking tours and stuff. I know there's one that goes through Frankston and all that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah.
So.
Actually, the, you know, the Aradale one? Mm-hmm. If you listen to the podcast, you would have heard my episode on Aradale Lunatic Asylum. But if you didn't, I talked about it. They're doing tours now. They've just started up again.
Hell yes. Mm-hmm. Book us in.
Yes.
Yes.
They actually have another one. It's like, it's so expensive, but you can go and do paranormal investigation and they give you equipment and you can go do it all for yourself. But it's like, it's several hundred dollars. But I'm like, I want to do it.
Let's make that our, like, savings goal for next year.
Yeah. Aradale.
We use our tax return to do that.
We're coming for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my part of the live show.
That was fun.
Thank you.
That was fun.
I had a lot of fun researching it too. I was like, oh,
I feel like you should make a little Melbourne ghost tour and we'll just go and do our own thing.
Yes.
I
mean, we'll do it. We can go to all those places and go.
Yeah, well, they're all in the CBD.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, well, that was great. Thank and that you. Was nice. I'm about to ruin your fucking day.
Yay.
Yeah, you bought tickets for this.
Suckers.
So this is the death of Phoebe Handstruck.
Oh, okay.
Do you know anything about this?
The name's ringing a bell, but I can't tell you the story at all, so.
Okay.
I'm keen to hear it.
So.
Strap yourself in, kids.
Yeah. So, we begin the morning of December 1st, 2010.
Okay. Oh, recent.
Yep. The family members and friends of Phoebe Handstruck received a worrisome and confusing text from Phoebe around 10:30 a.m.
Okay.
The text reads, "Hi, family. I am in bed and about to sleep, and when I wake, I will transform into the most incredible human being you've ever seen. Not.
Cool.
I will go to hospital. It's safer there, and I hear the special tonight is tomato soup. Delicious. Nutritious. I love you all very much, but not enough to send an individual text." Which I just love.
Wow.
Because that's me. Sorry about that. "But time is sleep, and I must be on my way. Merrily, 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 life is but a dream. XO."
Yeah, that's a little off.
Yo, okay. Phoebe's family knew of Phoebe's mental illness history, which was mainly depression and anxiety for the most part. Mm-hmm. They'd also knew that she had some issues more recently with substance abuse and, like, self-medication.
Right.
So she would drink a lot. She would often take sleeping pills or just, you know, all sorts of different things. Yeah.
Okay.
So even though the context of the text is alarming, there are some bits that were understandable. So, you know, saying that she's going to admit herself into hospital, stuff like that, they're sort of like, okay, but what the fuck's going on?
Right.
Within a few minutes of that text going out, her family members sort of start a call chain. They're calling one another to discuss the alarming message. And it ends with Phoebe's grandmother calling Aunt Hempel, Phoebe's boyfriend, who also was part of the mass group text.
Right.
So Aunt and Phoebe live together in Aunt's luxury apartments at the Balencia on the top of St. Kilda Road, just here in Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's that, you know, the park where they do the F1, is it F1? Or the big car race?
Yeah, vaguely.
Yeah, it's like just next, it's across the road from that park.
Oh, okay.
And they're like primo luxury apartments.
Right.
Okay. Like, I had a look on realestate.com. And one on the ninth floor recently sold for nearly $2 million.
Holy shit.
You.
Okay.
And it's like three bedrooms, all brand new, balconies, all that kind of stuff.
Wow.
Yeah. Phoebe was 24 and she was sort of still trying to get a grip on adult life because it's hard.
Yeah. I'm failing at the moment.
You're doing fine.
Oh, thanks.
And Ant was in his mid-40s. Right. And he'd had a decent amount of success in his career as a promoter. So he did like concerts and tours and stuff for Australia and all sorts of different events and stuff like that. So it's a big deal. When Phoebe's grandmother called Aunt? His name's Ant.
Ant, okay.
I can't figure out what accent I have sometimes.
Okay. How's it spelled? Like A-N-T?
Yeah. Cool. I think it's Anthony.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Right. When Phoebe's grandmother called Aunt, he said that when he went to work that morning, she was fine. A bit hungover and recovering from a bender that she went on earlier, but she seemed normal and okay when he left.
Right, okay.
Their relationship was sort of tumultuous at best. Like, she'd moved in and out a few times. Mm-hmm. They fought, all that kind of stuff. But for the most part, they would be together.
Okay.
Phoebe's grandmother was still quite concerned. So Aunt offered to go in and check on her during the day while he was at work. No one's actually certain if he did or did not actually follow through on this, though.
Okay.
Satisfied that Aunt would check on her, or her dad would see her the next day at a dinner they had planned together, everyone just went about their days.
Okay, all right.
6:51 p.m. on the night of December 2nd, so the next night.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe's dad calls one of her phones, of which she had two.
I picked up on that, I was like, one of
them? Yeah, yeah. So she had her an old Nokia that was her own, and then she also had a gift iPhone from Aunt. And a lot of her family and friends just said that she couldn't be bothered moving stuff from one to the other.
I mean, feels on that one.
Yeah. Also, it's 2010. Like, the iPhones then were still not great. Like, they were pretty new. So, really, the difference wasn't a lot. And if you're used to one, why bother? Like, you couldn't just transfer with an app.
Right.
Shit like that. You'd have to do it all manually. And who the fuck has time for that?
I do, because I don't know how to work the apps.
Len Hanschuk, which is Phoebe's dad, called the iPhone to tell his daughter he was running a smidge late, coming out of work, but he only got her voicemail.
Right.
So he left a message. Within 30 seconds of him hanging up and leaving that voicemail, he gets a return phone call, but it's not from Phoebe, it's from Aunt.
Okay.
And that was the first time in the entire time they'd known each other that Aunt had ever called Len.
Plus, ever. Did he ring from the iPhone or from his own phone?
From his own phone.
That's a bit suspicious.
So, well, there were reports that sometimes they would share the iPhone.
Okay.
Because it's like, I mean, Phoebe doesn't use it all the time. It's a newer phone. So it was just kind of like whoever had it that day or whatever didn't really make a difference. It wasn't one person or the others.
Okay.
It was just like there.
All
right. But we get to that later.
Okay.
Aunt had called to tell Len that Phoebe wasn't actually at their apartment. She wasn't there when he got home, like 45 minutes ago, and her keys and purse were still in the apartment, so she must be around somewhere.
Okay.
So he's very nonchalant about the fact that he's come home, her keys and purse are there, but she's not home. He's like, well, she's probably somewhere. I'm sure she'll be back in a minute.
That's funny that he's like, oh no, like she'll be there somewhere, when most people would be like, oh, like her stuff is there, but she's not, like I'm worried.
Yeah. So Len immediately tells Aunt to call the police and report her missing, but Aunt doesn't believe the police will take the report seriously this early.
Okay. It's been 2 days.
No.
No?
He saw her that morning before he went to work.
Okay.
And this is later. Her keys and purse are there.
Mm-hmm.
So to him, really, she could have only been gone a couple of minutes before he came home.
Okay, all right.
So she's not even really, in his mind, been gone an hour.
I'm with you.
Yeah. After they hang up, Phoebe's dad, Len, starts another call chain, trying to get anyone and everyone who knows Phoebe to find out any info, and he gets nothing.
Right, okay.
So Aunt wasn't worried about that text the day before.
Okay, he was like, that's just...
He's like, I saw her this morning, she's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the family doesn't really have that context.
Mm-hmm.
They're just going off what he said. So they have this weird message, and then the next day, like, she's not answering her phone, she's not home, but her stuff is there. So they're like, shit.
We're a little worried now.
Yeah, where'd she go? What's she done? It wouldn't be until later that same night that Aunt, for the second time ever, called Len and tell him they found Phoebe. She was dead.
That escalated quickly.
Yeah. So reeling in grief, Len had to pull himself together as much as possible because it would be up to him to deliver the news to everyone else in his family. Nice. And Phoebe's mum at the time was traveling. So she didn't get this text straight away. So she's she does obviously come back. When Len and Phoebe's mother, Natalie, press further into the circumstances surrounding their daughter's death, they become more and more intensely confused as to how this could have ever have happened.
I'm pretty confused.
Just fucking wait. All right.
Oh, okay.
So, around 7 p.m. the night of December 2nd, the apartment's concierge was looking for a broom. The concierge headed to the waste management room where cleaning supplies, trash compactor and chute were housed. She found she couldn't open the door. It was blocked.
Okay.
Looking through the window on the door and into the room, even though it was quite dark, she could see a woman on the floor in front of the door, covered in blood, blood that was everywhere in the room. God. She immediately calls police.
Okay.
Police would tell Len and Natalie that their daughter had fallen feet first down the garbage chute from the 12th floor, and upon reaching the bottom had cut her foot. I wrote cute. Well done. I proofread this twice. Had cut her foot in the compactor so severely it was almost severed. Phoebe lived just long enough to attempt to crawl her way around the room looking for an exit in the dark before she bled to death. They estimate 5 or 10 minutes it would have taken.
Do you know what? I actually do know this story. It clicked when you said garbage chute.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of stuff around the story. So most people have heard it, but I find that like the details are just so insane that I couldn't not choose this.
This is already more detailed than what I've seen.
So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad you did this one.
Thanks. This is like one of the first ones that I listened to, and I couldn't be doing anything else at the same time I was listening to this story.
Yeah, just totally.
Because usually when I'm listening to, like, I listen to other true crime podcasts or, you know, audiobooks, stuff like that, usually I will be doing other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I'll be on the computer or cleaning, just in general existing.
Yeah.
This is the first one where I just sat and listened to the whole thing because I was like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, it's here.
Yeah, where you're like, this is like
our... Like, I've been past that apartment building before. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't know where I was then. The police also then go on to tell the family that their initial idea on her death was that it was most likely a suicide or a freak accident.
Of course it was.
Phoebe's autopsy results eventually come back, which push police to lean more into their initial suicide or accident idea.
Mm-hmm.
Phoebe had large amounts of Stilnox, which is a really potent sleeping pill.
Oh, yeah, that'll and put you out.
And a blood alcohol level of 0.16, oof. So 3 times the legal limit. This combination is known to have some pretty adverse reactions. So people will sometimes hallucinate, they'll have really intense sleepwalking delusions, and then I wrote, or general off-chops behavior.
You're going to lose your board.
Yeah. But a lot of the sleepwalking, hallucinations, delusions, stuff like that, it's stuff that they would already normally do.
Mm.
So people that have had like alcohol and Ambien, which is essentially Stilnox, it's like the same thing,
yeah,
would sort of after taking it, they would wake up in their car or frying an egg.
Yeah.
You know, stuff that they would do normally, just not at that point in time.
Yeah, it's not like psychosis where you're creating stuff.
Yeah.
It's like you're just going to have nighttime antics, basically.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Nighttime antics.
Yeah.
That's a good band name.
Oh, it is too.
Yeah. The police decide either she was depressed and got into the chute herself, or she was out of it enough to somehow accidentally go down the chute, and they decide no further investigations needed. That's the same reaction I had the first time I heard it. Very deep breath, so not yell at people. obviously, the family called bullshit.
Yeah, I would too.
Yeah, and did not believe that it was at all Phoebe's own actions.
Mm.
They were like, no fucking way.
Yeah.
This is where retired super cop Lorne Campbell, Phoebe's own granddad, put his detective cap back on and went hell for leather.
Come on, granddad.
He was like, fuck no. You guys are dickheads. I'ma do this right.
Granddad's on the case.
Yeah. Go granddad. Super granddad. All right.
I'm so ready.
So the more Lorne dug into the case, the more he saw how jumbled and all over the place everything was. And more did he believe that suicide or accident was just not possible.
Okay.
So the very first thing that he got into was the physics behind the whole thing.
Yeah.
So the garbage chute on each floor are flat against the wall. They're small, like that big.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to see that.
Wait, we can do a visual with two pieces of paper.
Let's just do like this.
Yeah.
They're like that big.
Like that kind of size.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they're not at all. Oh, I've got the measurements here. shit. Yeah, so they're small, square, and they're metal. They have a single handle on the outside and a mechanism that closes them and keeps them closed when no external force is being applied.
Okay, so
you can't, like, you can't leave it open, yeah, essentially. When it's open, the chute really only has a narrow opening at the top, 37.2 centimeters across.
Okay,
so that's and like 22 centimeters wide.
And they think she jumped in there.
So she was a very thin girl. She was very thin, very small.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that, so she could fit. The dimensions do work with that. Okay. But it was, you know, that small, and it didn't open like a drawer. It opened kind of like on an angle. Mm-hmm. So the top came away from the wall. The bottom stayed connected.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, see, now I'm thinking, like, was it 22 centimeters the whole way down?
Or no. So when it opens, I will use my notes to show you.
Here's the diagram.
So you can see in the camera there. When it opens, so that's flat against the wall, and the opening is 22 centimeters in a triangle. So it's, yeah, like that. So that's the wall. But then it's open so that it's like that.
Yeah.
That, like an envelope. This here is the gap. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, like a post box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or like a book return at a library or an old Blockbuster.
Yeah.
Like that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I've totally lost my spot.
That's okay.
Okay. Yeah. To open the chute, you have to pull on the handle on the outside and the top opens in an arc from the wall.
Yeah.
So they actually did experiments where they had a woman who was actually one of Phoebe's friends, who was almost the exact same size as Phoebe.
Okay.
Try and get into the chute. Mm-hmm. Remember, feet first.
Yeah.
And although she could do it, it was difficult. And you needed extremely good coordination, a bunch of readjustments to do so. Family and friends confirmed, sober or two drinks in, Phoebe did not have anything close to that sort of coordination.
So she's trying to do this on a fuckload of sleeping tablets and alcohol as well.
Yes. 0.16 alcohol limit. And they confirmed that, like, after two drinks, she was legless. She was useless.
She sounded like me.
Yes. Essentially.
Yeah. It's not good, guys.
It is funny. There is also a video recreation of the experience that they redid for 60 minutes.
That's what I've seen.
Yeah, so if you want to go online and have a look after this, don't leave.
We love you guys.
you can go and see that. And you can see her, like, she's got no assistance from the other people. She has to open it. She has to lift her leg up like a meter off the ground to, like, swing it in.
Mm-hmm.
And then she has to kind of get in and bend. And there's like 47 different things she has to do to just get her legs in.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So my thing with this is, even if she could do it, which obviously we've figured out she can.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
She had a balcony. She lived on the 12th floor. I'm sorry, but if you're going to kill yourself, jump off the balcony.
Yeah, and if you're, like, fucked up on pills and alcohol.
I literally wrote, surely a balcony is more appealing to an influenced mind than a garbage chute.
That's all we need to say.
You know?
Makes sense.
Let
alone you've got, okay, we're not making suggestions here, but you've got, like, utensils in the kitchen.
If you were so convinced on a free fall for 12 floors.
Yeah.
Balcony.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was roof access. Like, there's just so many. It's just so, I don't know what kind of drugs you would have to be on for that to even come into your mind.
Oh, even in my drunk brain, I would sit there and be like, ew, garbage, gross.
I don't want to be trash.
No, if I'm
not trash.
I'm gonna go off the balcony. I'm not gonna go with
the unless trash. There was some symbolism there. She was like, I'm a garbage person.
Now
even then, that doesn't make sense.
No, should be like, no, I'm not that bad.
But also, it's kind of like, it's a lot of effort. It's a lot of effort. Yeah. No. Okay. So if you watch the video, you'll see how I mentioned the self-closing mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
So if she did get herself in a position where she could go down at feet first, her fingers would have been slammed in the door because there's no way she could hold on to anything other than that lip and it snaps up.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no space whatsoever for her to have had her arms by her sides. The chute was just simply not big enough. She had to have her arms up above her head. Yes. Yeah, like on a roller coaster. Yeah, but there's no way to have them by the sides to like sort of stabilize yourself before you go down.
Right.
Like it's just not. So her fingers would have been slammed in. And they know she was alive at the bottom of the chute.
Mm-hmm.
So there would have been bruising or some sort of damage to her fingers.
Which I'm guessing there wasn't.
Not at all.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, and there was absolutely no dispute from either side, police or Len, anyone, Lorne, that she went down feet first.
Okay.
Because the trauma to her feet and legs, there's no other way she could have gone down. Like, her hands weren't at all like that, you know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So the next thing that didn't make sense is when Phoebe was found, her jeans were down around her lower thighs, which wouldn't happen in the chute. Physics just doesn't allow it. No, you don't go down the slide and your pants come down.
Yeah.
You know?
She should have had an atomic wedgie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there are two theories here. One is not one I've seen anywhere else, but it's my theory.
Right.
One is that, okay, so the first one is my theory.
Okay.
Is that if when she went down, her pants were down because in the 5 to 10 minutes of her bleeding out with her foot half off, she's crawling around on the floor.
Mm.
If I was going to crawl around on the floor for 5 to 10 minutes, no matter how tight my pants were, they were going to shift.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
So that's yeah, that's potentially because I'm thinking maybe they were a bit damaged or ripped or, you know, early 2010, most people still wore cargo pants. Okay. you know, she had a very cool sort of like punk rocker 90s vibe going on in all the pictures I've seen, which is just mad.
Very cool.
Yeah, but so she was wearing jeans, but in my head, if you're crawling around on the floor, you're dragging your body along. You're essentially broken.
Yeah.
It's potential that her pants could have been pulled down that way. And she's not going to stop to pull her pants up while she's trying to get out because she's bleeding to death.
She's like,
it's not a priority.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's my theory of why her pants were like that.
Okay. I mean, it's plausible.
Yeah. Another one is that she entered the chute with her pants already mostly down.
Okay.
And therefore, she couldn't have gotten into the chute herself. Because if your pants are around your knees or around your lower thigh, there's no way you can lift your leg up like a meter high.
No.
No, it doesn't work.
It's like a band. You can't even lift your leg.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, exactly. I mean, jeans. Could you have really done it in jeans at all?
Yeah, we're not talking yoga pants here.
People. Or jeggings. I don't think they were a thing then. Oh, maybe.
Maybe just coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't say jeggings, though. It says jeans very specifically. So.
we bought that in.
Yeah.
I mean, both of those sound equally plausible.
Yeah, so either they were already down when she went down the chute, but in my mind then wouldn't they have come up a bit more unless they were like just a little bit? I don't know. That still doesn't make sense to me, but her crawling around on the floor, which there is evidence of, to me that explains the pants.
Yeah, I could go either way. I
mean, and she's quite thin, so it's almost impossible to find pants that aren't going to come off.
Yeah,
pretty much. You know, especially like if you look at how the girl that was able to fit herself in the chute is built, very sort of flat and narrow kind of, no offense. It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference.
She's a small person.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's not a lot stopping it from happening as she's crawling around, you know?
Plus, I imagine, like, she's not just sort of slowly crawling around. She's frantic. She's trying to find a way out or she's trying to find someone.
Or even if she is slowly crawling, she's fully dragging all of her weight on the floor.
Yeah, I mean, either of those I think could be possible, but both of them are sort of like, it's sus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So regardless of how her pants got the way they were, police also could not find a single usable print on the chute door.
That's a bit weird.
So to get in that chute all by yourself, your hands are all over the damn fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like the amount of readjustments and shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
They found nothing. Some people believe it could have been cleaned. Or it's like a brushed steel, so it's kind of texturized, so it could be just really fucking hard to get prints off of in 2010.
Okay.
So there's a little bit of, it's shitty and a little bit sus, but also there are some decent technical reasons why that could have happened.
Well, the other thing I'm sort of thinking of is if this is like an apartment building and this is a community trash chute, shouldn't there be something on there?
Well, it doesn't say there's no prints. It said there's no usable prints. So they weren't able to get ridges and stuff like that, which is why a lot of people think that it's because of the brushed steel, because it's got that weird, like, if you scratch your nails over it, you hear that little noise.
Yeah.
So,
I'd be interested to know how clean it was. Like, were there lots of unusable prints, or was there, like, four on there?
Yeah. Unfortunately, the details are so fucked because the investigation was so shit.
Yeah, that I can't imagine.
They did almost nothing.
Well, it's because they showed up and they were like, well, this is clearly a suicide. So they investigated it probably as a suicide.
100% that's what happened. So now this is just all like the first few things that Lorne looks into in his own investigation.
Right.
And the more he digs, the more he finds that just doesn't fucking add up.
Here we go.
Yeah. So now let's look at the way the apartment was left and the timeline around that.
Okay.
So initially we said that Ant got home around 6 p.m. He spoke to Len, Phoebe's dad, around 7 p.m. Then around 8 p.m. is when he was informed she was dead.
Right.
So a short sort of time succession there.
Yeah.
What? Okay. Now, the apartment building they lived in required a personal swipe key for security, because fancy. Yeah. and to use the elevator as well. So, Anne's personal swipe key was used at 6:09 p.m.
Okay.
When he was coming back from work.
So, that fits that
time. Yeah. Once Anne got to the apartment, he entered in, but he can't remember if the door was locked or not. So, the actual door to their physical apartment. Anne's statement was he sees a broken glass on the kitchen floor, a second glass with a scent of vodka on the bench, Phoebe's purse and keys also on the bench. Anne then described seeing what he called a shrine in their bedroom with pictures, post-it notes, ramblings, and just shit all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. So when I couldn't really find much information on that, but when I think about it, I think that it could have been like, you know how you have like a, sometimes back then they would do like boxes of memories with like photos and all sorts of, kind of like that. And like it's just been dumped out.
Stuff,
yeah.
What was the, so the shrine was just like her own photos and stuff.
Well, yeah, it just says photos. I couldn't find if it was photos of them, if it was just photos of her, if it was just photos of him. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of places sort of led to the fact that it was photos of the two of them.
Okay.
But there's no proof of that.
Right.
Because guess what? There was no fucking photos taken of the scene.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Ramblings and just all sorts of shit all over the place. Anne says he thought she was coming straight back because a straightener was plugged in and left on as though she was getting ready for dinner with her dad.
Okay.
Something that really should have caused concern if the rest wasn't enough is Anne found blood on her computer mouse pad, and a door frame in the apartment.
Yeah, that's pretty worrying.
But Ant does nothing. Just goes about his evening, goes on his computer for a bit. That's it.
He's just like, oh, don't mind that blood. Just keep Googling.
Yeah, it apparently was only a few drops.
Okay.
But still.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey, why is that blood there?
I mean, you could sort of assume that broken glass, she's cut herself, whatever. But why is there blood on the computer mouse?
Yeah, like who
cut themselves? What are you going to do? Google how to put on a Band-Aid? I don't... Mm. Yeah. Anyway, and it wasn't enough for like... where they would assume stitches would be required.
Okay.
So, yeah. Anyway.
Well, see, then I'm sort of like, oh, well, okay, broken glass, there's blood here. Then I'd be like, oh, well, where's Phoebe? Like, she's cut herself, but, like, where is she?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, like, not making excuses, but you could even think that maybe she's gone down to the concierge to see if they have Band-Aids, because maybe we don't have any.
Yeah. So you could bring
up... Why would she leave her keys here?
Yeah.
But also, it's been, like, an hour. Where the fuck is she?
Yeah, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah. So it's nearly an hour later that the phone call from Len to Phoebe's iPhone happens. And apparently, according to Ant, him calling her dad is a total coincidence, because Phoebe's phone, in his statement, he says that her iPhone was away being repaired at that point.
Okay.
Like, yeah, okay. So. Yeah. Again, can't find any proof that that's right.
That should be really easy to track down.
Like they didn't even try.
Well, that's what's annoying, because if the investigator should have done that.
Yeah, it's like the very first fucking things that you ask in any sort of thing.
Yeah.
So Len is freaking out about his daughter being missing. And what does her boyfriend do when he thinks she'll be back any minute? He orders takeout from the restaurant they were supposed to be going to just in a minute, and only enough for one person.
Oh, that's sus.
So either it's a bit vindictive... Yeah, and, like, a bit petty, just being like, well, you were late, so I'm going to order dinner for me and you can do something for yourself.
Some people are that petty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or it's us. Mm. The delivery guy arrives and says to Ant, sorry, I hope your food isn't cold. There's a bunch of police and stuff happening in the entryway downstairs. I had to park my bike outside. Oh. Apparently, very casually, Ant's response is, oh, well, my girlfriend's missing. I wonder if it's to do with that. And that's how Ant finds out that Phoebe's dead.
I'm going to reserve my comments at this time.
I had a feeling you'd have a reaction like this.
Yep.
You can see why I was sitting on the couch just intensely listening to this, being like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I'm sorry. This case is unsolved.
So at this point, Lorne has a bunch of basic questions.
Yeah.
With absolutely no answers.
I think we have a lot of questions.
What's up with the glass?
Yep.
Was the blood Phoebe's?
Mm-hmm.
What was her computer history saying?
Mm-hmm.
Where's her phone and what's on it?
Yep.
Was there any CCTV footage? And very importantly, when did she actually die?
Yeah.
Police could not answer any of these questions.
Ugh.
No time of death. Nothing on her phone. No last seen. No CCTV footage from that night. Nothing.
So, they did an autopsy, though, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't time of death standard? Okay.
So let's look at some of the bungled investigation responses.
Oh, boy.
So when Phoebe was found, the concierge that found her, the first responders, the police on call, nobody touched her to see if she was even still alive. Apparently, no one even checked to see if she was cold or warm.
I'm just so angry right now.
Right? Yeah.
Isn't it like the first thing you do? Like walk in and hello? Oh.
I can understand the concierge not doing it.
Yeah.
She was a young girl. Mm. You see something like that, you're going to freak the fuck out being like, I'm not touching anything.
Oh, public people, I can get it.
Yeah. Yeah. But a first responder.
That's weird.
Yeah.
The only thing I could say is maybe they saw the amount of blood and they were like, there's no way she's coming back from that.
But even like, you'd think when... Because I thought they had to sort of have somebody like an ambulance or a coroner, whatever, like officially take the body away, right?
Oh, they usually have to call time of death. Like, right. For anyone.
That didn't happen.
Ugh.
Apparently no one even checked to see if she was cold or warm.
Mm-hmm.
And the last known time she was seen was at 11:45 that morning.
That's a lot of hours.
When a fire drill went off in their apartment and she was seen on the CCTV footage leaving the apartment with the other residents and going back in at 11:50.
Okay.
So because of this and not knowing if she was cold or warm when they found her, the window of death is 7 hours.
See, this is really annoying to me because they have CCTV footage of her for the fire drill, but they haven't got anything else. They don't know if she left the apartment again that day. They haven't got her in the hallways. They haven't got anything else.
No.
They had CCTV.
Yeah. So investigators also never requested any of the CCTV footage from other areas in the building until they were pressured by family and friends. And by this time, the footage had been automatically recorded over weeks later. They also never requested her phone or her computer. They didn't even confiscate it. They left it alone. They didn't even confiscate it, let alone look at it. And they left it in the apartment with Ant. When they did go and get it months later, her emails were all deleted, but it had been so long that they had no way of telling when or who or why. They never tested the blood on her computer, so on her mouse or a mouse pad. Or where the glass came from. They did test the blood on the frame, like the door frame, and it was Phoebe's.
Okay.
But that's as far as it went. Okay. So they theorized that Phoebe had broken the glass and cut herself while trying to clean it up, but there's nothing that supports that. There's no blood in the sink or on the glass.
Mm-hmm.
You'd think that if you cut yourself on glass, there is a piece of glass with blood on it because that's the thing that cut you.
Oh, I've stepped on glass 100 times, and every time you look down, you're like, oh, there's glass covered in blood.
Why have you stepped on glass 100 times?
Because I'm very clumsy, and I don't look down when I walk.
I accept your premise. Fair enough.
Thank you.
There's no band-aids, there's no first aid, there's no paper towel, there's no tea towel with blood on it.
Brush or something?
Nothing.
Right.
No proof that it was Phoebe's blood on the mouse and no proof to show that it was her that left it there or it was on somebody else's hands or something and transferred.
Right.
There's none of that. So they have no answers there. Police didn't even check the garbage around her when she was found to see if maybe she did just take out the garbage and make a split-second decision or she was attacked in the chute or if there was, like, when she was putting garbage in. So if she was attacked there or...
Was any of the garbage hers?
Yeah, none of that. They didn't check any of it. There was just no investigation done, only assumptions made from the initial scene.
I have so much rage right now.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just checking how we're going for time.
Yeah.
So during a second inquest into a death, so just the family and the public went just hell for leather nuts on this. They're like, yeah, you need to look at this again because this was so fucked from the start that it never had a chance to be done properly.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah. So Phoebe's death was looked at closely. I skipped a bit. Coroner's assistant reports that there was no proof that the glass on the floor had any sort of liquid in it or on the floor, or that it was a drinking glass of any sort. There was a mention of a substance on the wall, but it was never tested. Okay. That's the only thing. There's a mention of it, and then that's it.
Right.
Yeah. Phoebe's death was then closed, and not a single authority was dissatisfied in saying it was a suicide. That's originally what forced the family to ask for an official outside inquest, and that's how we have a lot of the details that we have now, because otherwise we'd have nothing.
Okay.
During the inquest, the coroner was advised by assistant counsel. So that's usually what happens in a coroner's inquest, is that they sort of agree on something and then the coroner makes his ruling.
Yeah.
That they should rule the death undetermined.
Yeah.
But the coroner decided against this in a very rare circumstance where they don't agree, and that it shall be ruled a tragic accident.
If it was undetermined, we could have at least had an investigation.
Well, that's after the investigation. So if it's undetermined, then they're like, okay, it's not suicide, it's not murder, it's not an accident, it's just a mystery. And then they sort of leave it at that.
Oh, see, I've seen cases where, like, it's been closed, but then they try and get it determined, undetermined, and then they can open another one. Because if they close the case...
Oh, okay, well, maybe that's what they were trying to do.
I think so.
In the documents released by The Age, because The Age did a massive series podcast on this, they released all the court documents, everything.
Good work, The Age.
Yeah, there are heaps of notes from Phoebe's psychologist, because in the inquest, everybody that knew her essentially was questioned and did statements and stuff.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of statements about how worried she was about Phoebe, and that at the time, Phoebe was as close to suicidal ideation as she had ever had been, which could have influenced the coroner's finding. Or,
here we go.
Perhaps it could have been influenced by something to do with the fact that Ant was the son of retired Supreme Court Judge George Hampel. And his stepmother was a city county judge at the time.
Convenient.
That's
all I'm going to say.
So Ant has never been named a person of interest or looked at as a suspect, since it's all considered an accident. That's it.
Questionable?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So there are plenty of theories out there about who did it or what happened. And even though there were swipe cards to get in and out of the building, apparently it's also ridiculously easy to just follow someone in.
Oh, yeah. Apartment buildings, that happens all the time.
Yeah. There's also something that 7 months after her death, forensics teams found a stranger's phone number in Phoebe's pocket of her jeans that she was found in.
Okay.
But after the 7 months, the number was connected to a fake name and address. So there's easily another player in this narrative we know nothing about because of the crap investigating. Could have been her dealer. Could have been someone she just met. Like, there's a whole nother level to this that we will just never know anything about because it took them so long to look into it. Unfortunately, everyone had to get on with their lives. They were still fighting and remembering and mourning. Aunt moved on, dated, got married, divorced, and was dating again when something else insane happened.
Uh-oh.
So a Saturday morning of June 2018.
So 2 years ago.
Yep. 25-year-old Bailey Schneider came home mid-morning from a party she had been to the night before, which, fuck yeah, staying out all night, coming home 9 o'clock in the morning.
I missed
that. What a way to be. I am 45 years into retirement in the way I act when I drink. her parents were off to get some groceries and noted she was on the phone arguing with her boyfriend, Aunt Hample. When her parents returned home, Bailey was slumped on the kitchen floor in the corner with a golden cord around her neck, and she was dead.
Oh my God.
Her death, just like Phoebe's, was immediately treated like a suicide, despite the fact the cord was attached to nothing but her own neck and there was nowhere she could have hung herself from. No evidence was collected, not a phone, nothing. There was no suicide note. Bailey's system had, again, 3 times the legal blood alcohol limit. And she also had cocaine in her system.
Mm-hmm.
Months later, her parents were able to force police into looking at her mobile phone and found the couple had been in extensive communication for days before her death and had broken up just hours before she died. But 51-year-old Aunt had an alibi in the city and there were no signs of forced entry. Aunt had made statements to the police that their relationship was not serious, but Bailey's parents reported their daughter had told them very differently. they'd taken trips away together, mm-hmm. been together for a few months. They'd stayed, she'd stay at his place all the time.
Also, if the relationship wasn't serious, they wouldn't have broken up. It would have been like, yeah, I'm done. And they're like, yeah, okay.
It's what ghosting's for.
Yeah.
don't ghost people. No, that's shitty.
You should always like tell them, but it wouldn't have been a breakup. There wouldn't be extensive communication and talking about it. It'd
and
be like,
fighting. Yeah. Yeah. You know. Fighting's a couple thing.
Yeah.
September 2019, her death was reclassified, but after investigation on the 16th of June 2020, mm-hmm. Deputy Coroner Caitlin English said a review by experienced homicide detectives of the circumstances of Bailey's death found that it was due to self-inflicted asphyxiation. It was ruled a suicide. And that's it. No foul play was ruled in either case, and both have been completely closed. And that is the story of the coincidental deaths of Phoebe Hanschuk and Bailey Schneider.
You know when I do stories and you're full of rage? That's yeah. That's how I feel right now.
I thought so. I have goosebumps. That was great. I wanted to do that for so long.
I mean,
it's infuriating, right?
It's so, I mean, oh, I have so many things that are just annoying me right now.
So many things. So the one good thing that comes out of that is mm-hmm. that there's funds and that in Phoebe's name.
Okay.
There was a, I think also after Bailey, there was a decent reform in how, in police procedures for suicides.
Yeah.
So I think they have to be, there's like a minimum of what they have to do in terms of phone records, all that kind of stuff. There's like a minimum investigation. There's no open and closed, just looks like it. That's what it is.
Yeah. They shouldn't do that in the first place.
No, but now I think it's been like made official because of these two.
Okay. That's something.
Yeah. So it did sort of make a little bit of progress, which is always nice. It just sucks that it had to happen in the first place.
And have to happen twice.
Yeah. But there you go. That's Phoebe Hanschuk and Bailey Schneider. And to be honest, I didn't know anything about Bailey Schneider at all.
I hadn't heard that part either.
I only knew Phoebe's story.
Yeah. I think what I'd seen is the 60 Minutes special. I think I watched it on YouTube at some point, so yeah. I knew that, but everything else I didn't know. So that was really well researched.
Yeah. And if you want to hear like a ridiculous amount more on the case and the things that were bungled, the things that were missing, things that don't make sense, more in depth about like the court documents and stuff, listen to The Age. It's called Phoebe's Fall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a book as well written that I cannot remember the name of. I'm really sorry. Okay. But there's a book out there as well that you can read. That's all about it. Yeah, it's intense. It's a lot, but it's just so like you want to throttle someone and just be like, how did this happen?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of like, I'm listening to the story as you're telling it, and I'm trying to even entertain it in my head that it was a suicide or self-inflicted or an accident. It just doesn't fit.
Nah.
Like, I'm trying so hard to make it fit and be like, oh, well, maybe if she was really drunk, maybe. It doesn't make sense.
No, it's just everything's just a little bit too complicated for it to make sense.
Yeah, the most I could even entertain is that it was like an accidental killing, but I still think she was killed by somebody.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe something.
I really want to know who that phone number belonged to. Because in my head, that phone number genuinely belongs to like her drug dealer or somebody she just met, something like that. Why else would she have the phone number in her pocket at that time?
Yeah.
The second glass, they could have been like, she was getting ready to have dinner.
Mm-hmm.
That person's come over. Yeah. They've had a drink. She's rejected them or something like that. Or somebody's just asked, can you get the name of the book and add it on the end of the episode if you add this to your streaming platforms? What I'll do is I will pop it on the Instagram.
Yeah.
I'll put it on the Instagram and I'll tweet it out. And then I'll link it that, and I'll also link the Age podcast too.
We'll do a little posty.
Yeah, yeah. So the Instagram and Facebook page is just Dead Obsessed Podcast. I'm the only one on Twitter, so it's just at Catastrophe IRL. Catastrophe spelled wrong, but you'll find it. Yeah.
Not too hard to find.
Yeah. And if you want to come and talk about it, join the group. We've got a Facebook group. It's private, so people can't see what you're talking about.
Just in case you don't want your murdery stuff all over you.
Yeah, if Facebook you don't want your great-grandmother who's somehow on Facebook to see what you're talking about.
Or like your place of work or something.
Sure, yeah, that's more logical than what I said. But come join it. Laura will approve it. And we have chats and stuff in there or on the Instagrams, just Dead Obsessed Podcast as well.
Yeah.
And yeah, come have a chat to us and I'll link those things out there too. But Nick's just posted the link in the chat. Thank you. yeah, I'll put it out there. But yeah, I think that because the blood on the mouse and the blood on the door frame, like potentially it could have been like somebody has sort of advanced on her and she's gone, no, thank you, or whatever it is. And then they're like, shit, what do I do?
Like more
they're
of
like, oh,
typing.
The amount of times that it's proved that somebody has been thrown off a balcony rather than jumped.
Mm.
Not going to do that. Stick my head out the door. Shiny box. Trash chute. But in my head, would it not be easier to put someone down head first? Maybe unless that's too obvious. I really don't know a drug dealer that's that smart. Under the arms. No, because how would you get...
Yeah, it's still...
I don't know.
Unless there was more than one person.
I don't know. Someone come talk to us on... on the Instagram and stuff because we want to talk about it. We're angry.
But a lot more to say.
Yeah, definitely. But thank you so much for joining us. You know, doing this is like, this is the first time we've ever done this live. And Laura got here an hour and 15 minutes before we went on because I was like, just in case.
Yeah.
We had everything set up and then it almost didn't work.
Yeah. And we checked everything.
We even had a rehearsal.
We did.
So that this would work. Yeah. And then... Sure,
like,
that's fine.
Right at the buzzer, it was like, you can't log in. And we were like, fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. Panic attack. But we're fine. We did it.
Yes, it worked. Everything's good. So, yeah, thanks so much for listening. And we hope that you guys will be around on some of the other episodes we do. And we'll still be, you know, releasing as normal. This might come out eventually. Yeah. Otherwise, it might just be a sneaky little present for you guys.
Yeah. We also have a new episode coming on Saturday.
Yes, every Saturday.
Yeah. And if you haven't listened to our other episodes, feel free to check them out.
Yes.
They're pretty great.
There's lots of really good ones on there. Yeah. Also, if anybody has like hometown murders or any of that kind of stuff, hit us up on the Instagram, send us a message or the Facebook page because we want to start reading them out.
Yeah.
So if there's any murders that you at all, or murders, paranormal, whatever it is, something that you have some sort of personal connection to, we want to hear about it.
Yeah, personal stories or case suggestions. If there's
case suggestions too. That's always good because there's so many to pick from.
If there's something you're just hoping we'll cover... Let us know.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. And then we'll share you out on the podcast too.
Yeah, you'll get your name right.
But thanks so much for watching and being here and interacting and stuff. And we hope you had a really good fringe.
Yeah.
There's only a couple days left, so make sure you get as much of a fringe binge on as you can.
Yeah.
And
that's really good.
Fringe binge. I think it's actually something that Fringe came up with ages ago. I've heard it before.
That's nice.
Not original. Can't claim it. Sorry.
Okay.
But yeah. I've been Ash.
I've been Laura.
And this has been Dead Obsessed Live, and I'm going to play the song for you again.
Oh, we have an outro.
Yeah.
Dance party.
This is Dead Obsessed.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.